Everything is you. Just tell him, Lord, everything is you. I give you thanks. I give you glory. I give you praise for all that I am. For all you've done and all you're going to do, we give thanks and lift our voice to say, we give thanks, we give praise, for we know that all things work together. Everything this morning, you are more than enough. You've been so good, you've been so gracious, so merciful, so kind. We thank you for even this time. Thank you for this time of worship we've had so far. Thank you for your word coming forth now. Thank you because we have no doubt about the potency of your word. We have no doubt about the fact that you speak to us individually and collectively. So we thank you ahead for the things you say to us. We thank you. The psalmist said, I will wait to hear what the Lord will speak, for it will speak peace. So I know that your words will bring peace to our lives this morning. Thank you because it will bring encouragement. It will build faith. And thank you for confirming that word already with signs and wonders, miracles, and various distributions of the Holy Ghost. We give you the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. You can have your seats. It's amazing, 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 the things that God does in our midst. Amen. You know, just after service last week, I was just at the back and somebody, you know, stopped me and he said, I need to tell you something. I said, well, what is that? And he said, well, some weeks ago, that he was in church, and asked people to place their hands on their chest as we prayed. And he said he had had a chest pain for 2 years. He said he felt a touch, and since that time, he has not had the pain again. You know, so God does wonderful, wonderful, amazing things among us. Amen. Many of them we don't even get to hear. Amen. I had no clue. And except that he felt like saying it last week, I would have had no clue even till now. Amen. Open your Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 6. And it's a bit of a long read, so we'll take that. No, 2 Kings, sorry. I don't know why Samuel was in my mind. I kept knowing something was wrong. 2 Kings chapter 6. Are you there? I read from verse 8. It says, now the king of Syria was making war against Israel, and he consulted with his hands, saying, with his servants, saying, my camp will be in such and such a place. And the men of God sent to the king of Israel, saying, beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are coming down there. Then the king of Israel sent someone to the place of which the man of God had told him. Thus he warned him, and he was watchful there. not just once or twice. So it happened many times. Therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was greatly troubled by this thing. And he called his servants and said to them, will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? So who's the spy here? And one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king. But Elisha the prophet, who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom. So he said, go and see where he is, that I may send and get him. And he was told him, saying, surely he is in Dothan. Therefore he sent horses and chariots and a great army there, and they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of a man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, alas, my master, what shall we do? So he answered, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of a young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. So when the Syrians came down to him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, strike these people, I pray, with blindness. And he struck them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. May the Lord bless the reading of his words. So basically, I'm talking on the title, Our Invisible Army. Our Invisible Army. I think that today I will more or less just be doing some kind of an introduction, but more or less I'm talking about angels, our invisible army. Can I hear you say our invisible army? I think that we are becoming too conscious of the physical and losing a sense of the spiritual. I spent Tuesday, I think it was, Tuesday afternoon, if I'm right, am I getting my bearings right, or was it Monday? You know, I think it was Monday, you know, talking with a couple, friends of mine, and the wife was kind of really bothered, you know, about the fact that it looks like church has become a lot more about the natural, you know, about how we organize and the entertainment value and all of that. And I couldn't agree more that many believers live a lot more in the physical realm. And we have lost a sense of the spiritual realm. Are you still with me? But text tells us a beautiful story from which we can learn many lessons. You know, there are many lessons we can begin to talk about from here. But one of the first things that I just want to lay on the ground is that we need to become more familiar with the spiritual. Paul was writing to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 1. He said, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. The word gifts in that verse is actually italicized. And that means that it was added by the translators in order to improve the meaning, but it was not in the original Greek text. So what the original Greek text said was that concerning spirituals or concerning spiritual matters or concerning spiritual things, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. So concerning things of a spirit or things spiritual, God expects us to have a lot of knowledge. We need to know a lot more. If we don't talk about it a lot more, if we don't study and talk about it a lot more, we will not experience it as we should. Are you still here, anybody? So the reason why we must talk about it, you know, there are so many thoughts running in my head. So what we call it, flights. You know, flight of thoughts. We have so many things running in your head. So I have many things running in my head this morning. And one of the things that was coming to me as I sat there was the fact that we like cliches. You know, cliches, where I can put nice words together. They sound like a nice rhyme. And we like those things. They are catchy. They are good. Okay? They are good. But sometimes they are dangerous and misleading. Okay? Sometimes, let's say, they are misleading and ultimately, sometimes it can be dangerous. Okay? I tell people, for instance, when we start talking about somebody being heavenly conscious and utterly useless, I understand what we are trying to say. I agree with what we are trying to say in the context of hopefully what we are trying to say. Are you with me? But if we just take that alone, sometimes it begins to push another message to people. Okay? And we have many people who then begin to live in the natural. So they then begin to think that I must apply my brain to everything. Okay, we have cliches like God has given us a brain so that we can give him rest. Are you still there? Sounds good. In the middle of a particular context, it is very correct. But just taken out of that context and thrown around, it is quite dangerous. Are you with me? The Bible says that as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Not as many as are led by their brains. So a characteristic of the sons of God is their spiritual leading. Their consciousness of a spiritual leading, their sensitivity in the spirit is part of their heritage. Am I asking that people be stupid and don't think about anything? Absolutely not. But that's why you have to take it all within the right context. Are you still there? So we're getting too conscious of the natural. We think and live just in the natural. I was listening to Reverend Tunde Bolanta in Kaduna recently. And he was sharing a story of somebody in the church who had just driven in. You know, if you live in the north, maybe some of us need to do internship in the north. You know, when you live in some of those places, you will have to understand certain things that we talk about and live by them more often. And he said this lady had just driven into her compound and these assailants followed her in. And as they followed her in, for whatever reason, there was some altercation or exchange between them and they decided they were going to kill her. And they shot at her. You know, so this is somebody coming out of her car, standing, seeing people facing her, and she's talking to them. And then they bring out their guns and they shoot at her and every bullet fell at her feet. Are you there? No penetration. What is that? How does that work? I believe it's a ministry of angels. So when I'm talking about our invisible army, that's what I'm going to be teaching about. Are you still there? I said, are you there? But I'm beginning from the fact that we need to be more conscious of the fact that there are certain privileges you get as a child of God or as somebody who knows God that makes you live above the natural, makes you live above the normal. One of the things you get from this story, for instance, the summary of the story is that there was war and then this other king was fighting Israel, but every time he made a war plan and he said, we're going to take this way, then we'll stay here and then we'll attack them when they are coming this way and all of that, this prophet will send to the king of Israel and tell the king of Israel the exact battle plan the other man had. Until the man became convinced that he had a spy in his camp and said, somebody must be here leaking all our secrets to that man. And then somebody else said, no, nobody, there's no spy among us. However, there's a prophet on that side who will tell the king, even whatever you say in your bedroom, he can know it and tell him. Listen, one of the things we also need, I'm not even yet getting into this, I'm still introducing. Are you still with me? One of the privileges we have as believers is that we have supernatural insight into things. Are you still there? We have supernatural insight into things. John chapter 16, we've spoken about that recently. John 16, 13, Jesus was speaking and he said, when I go, the Holy Spirit will come. When the Holy Spirit comes, he will guide you into all truth. And he will even show you things that are yet to come. So there's an element of supernatural knowledge. 1 John chapter 2, 20, 27 says almost the same thing. He said, you have an anointing from the Holy One and you know all things. So there is supernatural insight. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 tells us also about the fact that there are gifts of the Spirit. And one of those gifts of the Spirit, the Bible says, is what is known as the word of knowledge. If you wish, you can call it a word of God's knowledge, meaning that a word from God that reveals what only God can know. Are you still there? In fact, if you look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, they are divided into three. The gifts of the Spirit are listed there. There are nine gifts divided into three packs. One pack is the gifts that say something. Okay, so you have the tongues, you have prophecy, you have tongues, and then you have interpretation of tongues. Then you have the prophecy. So three things, they say things supernaturally. You have three gifts that reveal things supernaturally. So one of them is the word of knowledge. The word of knowledge, like I said, is a word of God's knowledge. You suddenly, supernaturally know something that you could not have ordinarily known. It's a manifestation of the Spirit. Jesus sat in John chapter 4 with the Samaritan woman and he was conversing with her. Then suddenly he said to that woman, he said, go and call me your husband. And the woman said, I have no husband. He said, stop there. You have spoken correctly. He said, you have had five husbands and the one you are living with now is not your husband. Wow. The man thought, this must be a prophet. Are you still there? But what does 1 Corinthians chapter 12 tell us? What he's saying to us is that what we saw demonstrated there is available to you and I as believers. Can I have an amen? A word of God's wisdom. Wisdom is a correct application of knowledge. It's a word of instruction that applies knowledge and tends to reveal the future. So very often when we're talking about prophecy, most of the time is the gift of the word of wisdom that is in manifestation through the ministry of a prophet or even through any believer at all that foretells the future. Are you still with me? So I've said there are gifts that say something, there are gifts that reveal something, and there are gifts. So the third pack are gifts that do something. I'm just giving you a quick summary. Are you still here? There are gifts that do something supernaturally. So one, we have the working of miracles. Two, we have the gift of God's special faith. Not the faith that we talk about. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by God's word, but the gift of special faith. As spoken of as written in the Amplified Version. And then thirdly, we have the gifts of healings. So we have access to the supernatural. So one of the things this tells us is that this kind of experience that we're seeing and we read about in 2 Kings chapter 6 is available to you and I as children of God if we are not ignorant of spirituals. Can I have an amen? You know, as they said, you know, Amos 3:7 says, God does not do anything except he first reveals to his servant the prophets. Very often also, just like the king felt and said, somebody must be leaking the secrets. One of the ways that the prophetic works is that people are just talking, like I'm just preaching now. But as I'm preaching, I start addressing something or I start saying something, and to you it sounds like, who told him? Just like the king said. Who told him? Who is revealing what I'm saying? The same way the prophetic works is that it's not all the time somebody stands and says, thus saith the Lord. In fact, the prophet, most often, they preach and they teach. Acts chapter 15 and verse 32. It says, Silas and Judas being prophets, they taught the people. So very often, they are just teaching. But oftentimes, as they are speaking, it sounds so real, and sometimes there are specific things that are said that speaks to a particular person and that person's situation. There's a man I was told about, the story Reverend Eastwood Anaba is in Ghana. And he said he was preaching. And as he was preaching, he was just talking, you know, and then he gave an illustration. And he said something like, you know, and you should not beat your wife, you should not beat your wife. You know, and as he did that, I was touching, the man had just beaten his wife. He was a pastor. He beat his wife that morning. So he came and said, you should not beat your wife. You shouldn't beat your, you know, and continued. You know, but the man knows, you know, as the man stands here, what you are hearing is different from what that man is hearing. The man is shaking on his seat. You get what I'm saying? The man will be shaking on his seat. God, oh. Who told him? You know, Kenneth Hagin said one also. He said he was preaching. He went to preach somewhere. Then he was, a traveling minister. He went to preach somewhere. And he got to that church, you know, and they told him, they said, you know what, that the offering on the first day we're going to take to cover our expenses. They said, but after that, every offering we collect, we're going to give to you. No problem. He said, of course, because as a traveling minister, that's all the income he's going to get anyway. And he said he would apply his faith usually to cover his needs. You know, so from whatever he preaches, he says most, he doesn't even discuss what it costs him to be there with the preacher. Even if the preacher asks him, what does it cost to meet your bills? He says, no, don't worry about it. I'm believing God. Whatever you give me, whatever you get, it's okay. He said, but that time, so that's what they had told him. They said they'll give him the offerings. He said, so it was fine. He was there, so, and he continued preaching. He said, and as he was preaching one day, he walked up to a man in the congregation there. And just walked up to this man and said, you know, they are stealing my money. He said, they are stealing my money. They decided that it was too much. And so they decided that they are going to steal my money. He said, they might as well just get away from this service and go on the way and rob a filling station. It's robbery. And he continued preaching. He said, the pastor was shaking on his seat. And after the pastor told him, he said, look, this is exactly what had happened. The deacons had gathered and said the money was too much. That when they saw the offering that was coming, they said the money is too much. We can't give everything to him.
That we we will not give everything to him as we have told him we will do. We will not do that. We will take out of it. We can't give him everything. It's too much. He said, and the man that led, that spearheaded that thing was the man he went to in the congregation. And that another man spoke there and said, this is robbery. He said, it's as good as going to rob a filling station on the way home. He said exactly the same thing and went to the ringleader without knowing anything that had happened. The supernatural realm is real. Are you with me, anybody? The supernatural realm is real. So I titled this, I call it Our Invisible Army, because irrespective, one of the things that's been running on my head, in my head for a few weeks, I mean, looking at all the things happening in the country, I'm sure many people also have had their anxiety, their moments of anxiety. But I'm trusting God that this will bring you comfort. Are you there? That you are never alone. As a matter of fact, you have an invisible, I chose those words carefully, you have an invisible army. Invisible because they can't be seen, but they are very invincible. You know, there are two words. Invisible, they can't be seen, but invincible, meaning they are unstoppable. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You have an army. You have a lot of them. So I didn't just call it one. I said it's an invisible army, because just like it happened with that servant there. The Bible says the servant got up in the morning. He went out there. He saw the army of that country surrounding the whole place, the city where they were. And he said, alas, my master, what shall we do? And the man smiled and said, the people that are with us are more than them. And I asked God to open his eyes. Very often, God needs to open our eyes to realize how surrounded we are by his own army. Are you hearing what I'm saying? They are there in their large numbers. Not only do we have one or two, we have personal ones, but they are there in their large numbers. Can I have an amen? Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. The Bible was telling us that even though we face all kinds of challenges, from verse 16 to verse 18, which is the last verse, it says we do not look at the things that are seen. He said the challenges we see are working for us a far greater weight of glory. But in the meantime, while we are going through this earth, while we are going through our challenges, while we are going through all of the things that we go through, he said there is an attitude we need to have. He said an attitude is that we do not look at the things that are seen. Can I hear you say, I will not look at the things that are seen? Sometimes that would translate to switching off the TV. Sometimes it means that the news is too much. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Sometimes it means that you are listening too much to the radio. The newspaper you are reading is too much, as if you have an exam. Are you still there? He said, while we are here and we are facing those challenges, we don't look at the things that are seen. Meaning we don't ponder on the things that are seen. We don't meditate on the things that are seen. But the first step is sometimes you need to control how much of it you see. So while we look not at the things that are seen. So one of the ways by which these things work for us is that we do not look at the things that are seen. He said, but we look at the things that are not seen. Wow. Why did I stop there? He said, we look at the things that are not seen. We look at the things that are not seen. But they are not seen. But we look at the things that are not seen. What is he saying? The things that are not seen are as real or realer than the things that are seen. Are you still there? I was talking to somebody. I had a gentleman in the UK. Pastor many years ago. So I remember some years ago we were together and he was telling me, he said, some of the things you used to say, I'm just beginning to understand them. He said, you used to tell us that God and the spiritual realm was more real to you than us that were sitting in front of you. He said, I didn't understand it. He said, but now I'm beginning to get it. Are you still there? He said, we don't look at the things that are seen. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 18. But we look at the things that are not seen. He said, why? Because the things that are seen are temporary. They change. Very flippant. Here today, gone tomorrow. It was this way before. It's no longer that way now. He said, but the things that are not seen are eternal. Are you still there? I was in a meeting some years ago. And as I was ministering, somebody had a terrible boil. Bam, it vamoosed. He thought, you see, I was here now. Vamoosed. Where did he go? I don't know. But the things that are seen are temporary. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The things that we can see. Oh, it's a big goiter. It's temporary. Oh, it's a broken leg. It's temporary. He said, but the ones we cannot see are eternal. Another translation says, the things that are seen are temporary and they are subject to change by the things that are not seen. What is he saying? He's saying that the things, the realm we're not looking at, the realm that we often ignore, controls what we can see. What we cannot see very often determines the ones we see. Are you still there? Colossians chapter 3 says that if we are dead and risen with Christ, then we should set our affection on the things above where Christ is seated. What's he saying? He's saying, put your mind on the things above. Stop looking and be fixated on the things in the physical. If you realize and start looking more at the things that are not seen, at the invisible, just like our invisible army, you realize that the things that you can see can be changed by those which you are not looking at but can be seen. Are you still there? The Bible says that we know that the words were framed by the words of God, were framed by what could not be seen, even by the word of God. So even the unseen changes the seen realm. Can I have an amen? So they are invisible, but they are there. They are there. Not only so, there are many. There are many. In Matthew 26, Jesus was in the garden and they had come to arrest him. Okay, they had come to arrest him. And when they were there, his disciples decided to fight and defend him. And he said, no. No. I mean, God's word, God's plan has to be fulfilled. He said, don't you know, in verse 53, he said, don't you know that I can call on my Father and he will send a legion of angels even now? You know what legion means? The Amplified is the only one. Everybody else avoided trying to give us a figure. But the Amplified says that that's more than 80,000. Can I say 80,000? He said, I can call on my Father now and he will send me more than 80,000 angels. If not fight, I feel fight. Not the way you expect, but I'm capable of war that you do not expect. Are you still with me? But there is a bunch, an army in their numbers available that can fight on my behalf. Now, as I'm saying all of these things, I'm saying them to let you know. Not about Jesus or whatever, but we're coming to that. We'll get to it eventually. But to let you begin to see that you have God's invisible army as your invisible army that guards, fights, and works for you. Are you still there? Even Elisha was talking about it, and what did the Bible say? 2 Kings chapter 6 that we read. The Bible said, when the eyes of the servant was opened, he saw the mountains were full. Can I hear you say full? So they looked like they were alone, but the mountains were full. Full of chariots of fire. So you might see me, I look like I'm alone, but not so. Are you still there? Not so. You might be walking around and you look like alone. You are alone, but not so. That's what I'm trying to get into you today. I mean, starting today, is that you are not alone. You have an army. You have a private army guarding you, guiding you, protecting you everywhere you go. Are you still there? So fear should not be allowed. Somebody said, then why am I afraid? Because you are focused on the things you can see. In Lamentations 3, He says, look, this I recall to my mind. I think that's verse 21. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. So when he says, this I recall to my mind, what does it mean? He's saying that it's what I recall to my mind that determines whether I have hope or not. Are you still there? My sense or feeling of hopelessness is because of what I am bringing to my mind. It's because of what's filling my mind. That's what's causing the hopelessness. If I'm afraid, if I'm waking up in the morning and I'm feeling hopeless, if I'm scared and thinking to myself what's going to happen to me, it's because of what is on my mind. So the man said, this is what I keep recalling to my mind, and therefore this is why I have hope. And what do I keep recalling to my mind? He said, I keep reminding myself that it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. He said, they are renewed every morning. Great is your faithfulness. So he was saying, this is what I keep thinking about. So what you keep thinking about determines what happens to your mind. If you are afraid, if you are anxious, if you are worried, change what is on your mind. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's simple stuff. You can fix it. That's what I'm trying to say to you. You can fix that fear. You can fix the anxiety. You can fix the hopelessness by fixing what your mind is fixed upon. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. It talked about whatever things are good, lovely, edifying, of good report, blah, blah, blah. He said, fix your mind on these things. So it's what you fix your mind on that determines how you feel. Are you still with me? You can't spend all the time, you know, listening to all the negativities around. You can't spend all the time watching even all of what we get sometimes in Nollywood. Are you still there? I'm not saying it's bad. I'm not saying Nollywood is entirely a bad industry. I'm saying, but sometimes you need to be conscious of the messaging. And you can't fill your mind with those kinds of messages. Listen, if you spend time, for instance, I don't even know where I was. I was watching that and somebody was commenting and saying everything they are showing is juju here, juju there. And I told them, I said, yeah. I said, if you spend all of the time watching this, you know what will happen to you? You will have faith in juju. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's automatic. It's simple. Straightforward. You will have a lot of faith in juju. So if somebody says to you, you, I will suck your blood. And you say, then you start calling a what? You call about 10 pastors. Pray for me. Pray for me. Then you stay up and say you are doing night vigil. The devil gave you night vigil to do. That's what's happening. And what happened to you? You have a lot of faith in those things because you have been feeding on them. Listen, turn it around. Feed on God's word. Feed on what it says. Feed on the fact that you have an invisible army. You find that all of a sudden a strange confidence will come upon you. Are you still there? As I've said before, a man driving on the road looked and said, "Huh?" And if we curse you now, they'll say we are wicked. Is that supposed to be a threat? I said, carry on. Go ahead, go ahead. Go ahead. I was smiling. I said, go ahead. Because if you curse, he can't do anything. You know, there are levels. And when you do what you want to do, you know, there are times you even go to what? Dibia, Babalawo, or whatever. Even the Babalawo will tell you, this one that you brought picture, take it away. Don't cause me trouble. Yeah, take this one away. Have you not heard of people who are kidnapped? And the Babalawo comes and says, why is this one here? Why is this one here? Stupid man. Take this one. Take it. What the man says is that this one will cause me trouble. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The consciousness of who you are and what you have determines the victories you'll enjoy. Are you with me? Are you still here this morning? So we have many of them. We have an invisible army. They are many and they are strong. Let me end it on this note as an introduction that even though we have access to many, we also have personal ones. You know, recently I was meditating. Go to Psalm 34. Psalm 34. Recently, I was just, you know, studying, and I came to this verse again, and it just struck me differently. Psalm 34, verse 7. The Bible says, the angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. And I just stayed there. The angel of the Lord encamps. The word encamps means stays. The angel of the Lord stays and surrounds, just stays with those who fear him and has a mission, delivers them. Every trouble, every mischief, every evil, the angel of the Lord stays. And the more I stayed and I meditated upon it, I began to see it as I have a personal bodyguard. That's what began to occur to me, that I have a bodyguard. I don't remember who he was. I said he was preaching. And he saw it. All of a sudden, he saw the guy in front. The eyes just, you know, when somebody's eyes become very big. He said the guy's eyes became very big. And was looking. Looking at him when he walks this way. He looks. He says, so after the guy was asking me. He asking him. He said, who was that guy that was on the stage with you? The preacher didn't know. He said, who? He said, there was one guy. He was big. He said, and when you move this way, he moves with you. When you move that way, he moves with you. He said, so I was looking at him. I was looking at him. And the man remembered that he could see the guy's eyes become very big. The only reason why we still look normal is because we haven't seen the discerning of spirit, which is the ability to see in the spirit. Amen. So when Elisha was saying, Lord, open his eyes, he was asking for the gifts of the discerning of spirit, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. He was saying, if the gift of the discerning of spirit is the ability to see into the realm of the spirit. And so what happened was that gift came into manifestation and the man could see. And it's called the discerning of spirits, not the discerning of devils. So it's not just to see devils, but you see angels too. Can I have an amen? You see things that you never reckoned you could see in the realm of the spirit. Go to Matthew 18. Is anyone getting something this morning? Matthew 18. The angel of the Lord encamps around all who fear him and delivers them. So there's a personal bodyguard. The angel of the Lord who goes with you and protects you. Are you there? Next time we'll talk about what they do and how to activate them. What they do in general. What do these angels do? This invisible army we have. But remember, I'm just saying to you that though we have many, we have access to many, but we have a personal angel, as I can see from the scriptures. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 10, they were talking about children. Jesus spoke here and he said, take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I say to you that in heaven there are what? There are angels. Always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. So he was talking about the fact that they have angels. Abi? And you know what happened to us? We think that when we grew up, they left us. That when we grew up, they left us alone. And they say, she's an adult now. She can take care of herself. No. That's why Psalm 34 says, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. They stay with you. Are you there? Acts chapter 12. In Acts chapter 12, the Bible talked about the persecution that came against the church. James was killed. Peter was arrested to be killed. He said, but constant prayer was made to God by the church for him. And then one night an angel came and rescued Peter from the prison. Okay? Peter went to church, knocked on the door. And when he got there and he knocked on the door, the girl that went to the door looked in the keyhole and she saw Peter. So she went back and stopped the prayer meeting and said, hey, Peter is at the door. Look at verse 15, Acts chapter 12, verse 15. But they said to her, you are beside yourself. Yet she kept insisting it was so. So they said what? It is his angel. So they're saying, hey, it's not Peter. It must be his angel. So they understood that even though you grew up, you still have the angels with you. Hallelujah. You are saying, why are you talking about these things? Because you will need it more and more in these days that we live in. And the more we talk about them, the more we'll see them. Kenneth Hagin talked about a pastor in a denomination who began to teach about angels. And they will, of course, the stories, testimonies as well, and teachings and all of that. And the denomination was concerned. So they called and put together a committee to investigate what the man was teaching, this strange doctrine and all of that, and give them, you know, the deadline. And when they came back, the chairman of the committee addressed them. And he said, in all honesty, after having gone and examined the scriptures for myself, he said, I am wondering why we have not been seeing more of angels than we have ever been seeing before. He said, because now that I've actually read it myself and looked in the scriptures, what I'm concerned about is not what the man is teaching, is the fact that more of us ought to have experienced more of this. But it doesn't happen. Except you know. Okay? Except faith is built. The more faith is built, the more manifestations of things you get. I'm not saying you should start looking for spirits around and looking for angels around. Are you still there? Because then you open yourself up to all kinds of manifestations. But I'm just saying know what the scriptures has to say about the fact that you have angelic protection. Can I have an amen? You know, one day, it was Lagos Ibadan Expressway. I was driving, and as I drove down that road, at a point I looked in my mirror and I saw this vehicle coming. It's like some kind of pickup or whatever, and it was speeding. It was driving recklessly and all of that. And I knew I needed to get out of the way for these guys. And when I tried to overtake a lorry, you know, and then after I overtake, I can move away and clear the road for them. But these guys got to me and did not wait and just rammed into me from behind. So I parked, they parked. I got down and they stayed already shouting and whatnot. It's only me in the car. So one, I don't fight, but I know that I can't even fight, you know. So, but when I got down, the shocking thing to me was I went there, I looked at the car. There was not a scratch. Nothing was on that car, nothing. So as they screamed and all, I just said, look, do you look? You are the ones that were wrong. This guy shouting, I just turned around, I entered my car, and I drove away. But it kept occurring to me that how could they hit me at high speed from behind and I'm not seeing anything on my car? How does that happen? I believe it's an angel. Are you with me? There are things we need to experience, but much more than that, we just need to have faith in what God says He has provided for us. Can I have an amen? Amen. Let's stand on our feet. So it doesn't matter what is around you. When He says the angel encamps and delivers them means that from what? Delivers them from what? He didn't tell us. So it means from everything. From everything and anything. So every time I get on a plane, I'm not just looking for a safe ride, I'm looking for a smooth ride. So you know what I remember, Psalm 91. It says He has given His angels charge over you. They will bear you in their arms. So I said, no, you know what? This plane is being carried by angels. And the lady was telling me on Monday, she said, you know, she had a very bumpy ride. In fact, when she shared that story, I laughed. And I told her, I said, what you experienced sounds exactly what I experienced. Then she was on a flight. It was terribly bumpy. It was just going up and down, going up and down, going up and down. Said she was really scared. She doesn't even like flying normally. She said, so she was really scared. She said, but it was one of those experiences, supernatural experiences, that she has had that was so real to her. She says she just like heard a voice that said, my angels, don't worry, my angels are carrying this plane. She said, and the way she was sleeping on that flight was unusual. So I laughed. I said, me too, the bumpiest flight I've ever had, I slept like somebody drugged me. The only difference is that I didn't hear anything. But I was sleeping. I don't sleep that well on a plane. I said, but I slept. It was difficult to open my eyes, even when people were screaming around me. And once this guy just opened my eyes, praise the Lord. And then I sleep again. But he said she heard the voice, and God said, don't worry at all. My angels are carrying the plane. I want you to begin to thank God this morning. Lay your fears down at His feet. I don't know what's been scaring you. I don't know what's giving you anxieties. But begin to just thank Him this morning. Begin to thank Him this morning. And say, thank you. Thank you for my invisible army. Thank you for your angels on assignment. Thank you for deliverance, even from things I do not know. I don't need to know them. I don't need to see them. But thank you for having made provision for me. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 14 says, are they not ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them that are called unto salvation? So thank him that they are there ministering for you. They are in your service. They are there to help you, there to assist you. It's amazing what God has given to us. Amazing, amazing. When I think about everything salvation means and bequeaths to us, it's just amazing. A walk with God gives us amazing benefits. It's good enough that we are saved. Good enough that we have a Holy Ghost. Yet God still gives us more. Thank you, Lord. Lekaboshataya. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I see deliverance from fear. Yeah, deliverance from fear. Someone's been so worried. So worried, but not anymore. Not anymore. Begin to see that there's more in the realm you cannot see. And God has made so much provision for your welfare. So much provision for your welfare. So much provision for your welfare. Thank you, Lord. 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 We give you praise, Lord. We exalt you, Lord. Yeah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Legala boshta. Mingla asta prato sofredishta bahane. Someone's been depressed. Yeah, been depressed. You just don't know, you struggled with it. No joy. But the Lord anoints you with the oil of joy this morning. He anoints you with the oil of joy this morning and breaks the hold of that depression. The peace of God passes understanding. It's not explainable. It just breaks the shackles of depression. Sets you free. The gentleman the other time said, oh, I think you taught me. But I thought about it. I said, no, I didn't touch you. Where you were, you touched, you placed his hand on his chest. Jesus touched him. And I see touching people. Touching people. Bringing a whole lot of emotional healing. A whole lot of emotional healing of people this morning. Emotional healing. Thank you, Lord, for the things that you do. Thank you, Lord, for the things that you do. Someone also has felt worthless. You felt like, well, God can't deal with someone like you. But part of what you are sensing this morning is God's love for you. God's love for you. Overwhelming love of God indeed. Yeah. Yeah. And God is saying, no, you are the reason why Christ died. You are the reason why Jesus died. And even if it was only you on the earth, Jesus would still have come and died for you. That's how much he loves you. That's how much he cares about you. Forget us. Just you. Yes, you. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. And if you are here also, you need to make peace with God, please do that now. If you need to make peace with God, do it now. Whatever it is, have faith in the love that He has for us. Have faith in His love for us. He demonstrated it in that Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. While we were yet sinners. So it doesn't matter. That's why He wrote in 1 John chapter 1, if anyone has sinned, He is faithful and just to forgive us of all unrighteousness. All unrighteousness. No, you have not committed the unpardonable sin. No, no, no. But just tell Him this morning, this is me. Yes, me. Just me. Only me. And tell Him, I've come to Him this morning. I've come to you this morning as I am, just as I am. I present myself to you. I present myself to you. All that I am, I give to you. Forgive me of my sins. And He will. He will. Now, if you're also here, you're believing God for a physical healing. If you're believing God for a physical healing, put your hand on your chest. Masite calibroso fredista bangle estu prase facadose ledosa brandoso fredista bahane. If you are believing God for a healing, just put your hand on your chest right where you are. Expect a touch from Him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for touching. Touching, 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 touching them even now. Thank you for touching them even now. Thank you for your touch. Your power goes right through them. And I curse every sickness and every disease. I command your healing from the crown of your head. Yeah, I sense that power is coming strong. Coming strong on you. Coming strong on you. Coming strong on you. Coming strong on you. Makes you whole. Makes you every bit whole. 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 Just take that touch. Take that power all over you. Just take it, take it, take it, take it, take it, take it. It's walking in you now. 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 Thank you, Holy Spirit. Walking in you now. Yeah, feel it getting stronger. It's getting stronger, getting stronger. What happens when that happens? God is vaporizing sickness and disease. Vaporizing sickness and disease. Vaporizing sickness and disease. Yeah, 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 yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Somebody says, what are you doing? I'm just following the Holy Ghost. I'm just following the Holy Ghost. When it's done, I stop. Yeah. Thank you. 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 Increase the voltage, the Holy Spirit. Just go strong there. Just go stronger there. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you. Thank you. Healed by the power of God. 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 Thank you. You know, God told me, when you preach, give me time. let me just touch people and walk among them. So sometimes I just do that, and I just wait and let him move and touch people, and wait and let him touch people. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. 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 Yeah. Help her, help her, help her, help her, help her. Losta, Brando, Sofre, Dusta, Prado, Sofredi, Yegaladosa, Bambroso, Felide, Jesus, Velane. So I lift your hands to, it's almost like a battle. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your mighty hand upon her, even now. Thank you for your touch on her. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Begin to give him thanks. Begin to give him thanks. And begin to give him thanks. Thank him, thank him, thank him, thank him. Lego go so produced to Brahande. Legege go 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 sita lega hashta. And if there was something you couldn't do before, do it. Do it, do it, do it now, do it now. Do it now. Do it now. Legado so produced. Legege gesta. Leproso fredista. Parado so fredista bagas. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Redoso Belida Hande. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your touch. Thank you. The scripture said you went everywhere with them, walking with the word, confirming with signs following. Thank you for making yourself real to us. Thank you for helping us to see the unseen, even in our hearts, and to become more conscious of your word and the realities therein. We appreciate you, Lord. We give you praise. We give you glory. In Jesus' name.